Just let go and let him have his way. You know, a lot of times we try to figure it out and say, this is the way we're going to do it. Perfect example is that's this morning. I told Brother Tony, Brother Tim, I said, pray for me, brothers. I said, I really need your prayers and really just understanding which way the Lord really wants you to go. And every from the song service from the very beginning is exactly what's been on my heart. The brother sayings, let go and let God have his way. That's the best way. Just let go and let him have his way. We're going to let our musicians receive it if you'd like to. I'd like to say, God bless you. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. We was in service last night and her brother Farmer preached, and I tell you what, he did a fine job. The Lord really spoke to him. I thought it was real good. Give the musicians time to get to their seat. And if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11. I'd like to say hello to our visitors and welcome back, Brother David Simcoe. God bless you, brother. Glad to have you back. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11. It says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth, and it was so. And let's turn over to St. Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to read, starting in verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And I have to just skip on down to verse 16 of the same chapter. It says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Let's just go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We want to tell you that we love you from the depths of our heart, Lord. And Father, we're here because we believe that you're here, Lord Jesus. And Father, we've been called to your word, Lord, and we're so thankful for that this morning. Lord, I'm asking you that you will take absolute control of this service, Lord. Help me to get myself completely surrendered to you, Lord, that I will say nothing that's contrary to you or in a way you would not want me to say it, Father. Lord, touch every heart in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's go ahead and turn one more scripture, if you don't mind. It's Psalms 133. It's, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Amen. Saints of God, there's nothing like unity. You know, you take a family that's in unity, and it's the most wonderful things in the world. Brother Brenham even called, you know, a husband and a wife a masterpiece when it's in harmony with one another. And you take the bride and Christ, when they come together in harmony, saints, there's nothing like it. It's the most beautiful thing that you'll ever see.
That's right.
You know, and if you look at what makes, like, I like to just work with me this morning, saints of God. You know, I like looking at flowers, and I like looking at bouquets of flowers. And Sister Mary Hart used to always have a real pretty bouquet of flowers. Somebody remembers that. It's real beautiful in the front. And I went to her house and helped her move some of her flowers. And my Lord, that sister's got a lot of flowers. Three trailer loads. And we didn't even get it all. But the point of the story is the sister knows flowers. She understands them. She understands what to do about them. If you do this, you can cause it to grow a little better. And if you do this, it's probably not. And things about flowers, what makes them so beautiful, saints of God, is they just try to be what they are. They don't try to be anything else. You know, a rose has got a distinct color. It's got a distinct smell. It's a rose. It doesn't try to be a tulip. It doesn't try to be a sunflower. It just tries to be exactly what it is. And you know, because it does that, it's a blessing. It doesn't get in somebody else's way. It doesn't get in the other flower's way. It's a blessing. And the thing about a rose and a flower and each one is they all have their own distinct flavor, their own distinct smell. But you know what? They didn't choose to be who they are. They are what they are because that's what God made them. And because they are what they are, they have a certain characteristic about them. And this characteristic is something that they don't put on the outside, but it's something that's born from within. It's something that's on the inside of them. And the sunflower is a sunflower from the inside, so it automatically acts like a sunflower. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's something that's on the inside, and it's something that's real. You know what? I believe that's something that God loves more than anything, is something that's just real. You know, I love when a brother or a sister can come up to me and give me a handshake and say, God bless you, Brother Daniel, and it's real. You know, you can tell that they're really speaking from their heart. You know, but I really hate it when someone will say, God bless you, and you can tell there's nothing there. Saints of God, let's never let that ever come between us. Let's be real in everything that we do. You know, in worship services, let's be real in the worship service. Let's worship God from the depths of our heart. No, as I was saying about these flowers,
is it doesn't have to try to think about the next step that it's going to be. Though there's different phases in a flower, and let's just use a sunflower example. I used this at the Pawnee, forgive me, the saints that were there. I tried to do it the way the Lord showed me. The sunflower, you know what? He doesn't have to think about, okay, in order for me to be a sunflower, I'm going to have this many leaves. I'm going to have this many petals. I'm going to have this kind of smell. Though he can look around him and see the other sunflowers. And he can see the young sunflowers, they have certain many petals. I don't know how many they have. They've got leaves, they've got this color, they smell like this. They can look around them and they can see this is what they have. But you know what? He can say, you know what? They've got fruit, and I can see that they've got fruit, but how am I going to get that in my life? Can you say amen? Amen. You can look around you and you can see brothers and sisters that are established in the faith, and you can see God's evident fruit in their life. And you can say, that's God in their life, amen? But you can say, but where's it at in my life? I want that in my life. Can you say, man, I want that in my life, saints of God. When I look at my other brothers, I see my brother Tony, my brother Tim. I can look at all the brothers and I can say, I want what they have in their life inside me. But you know what all they're doing is they're bearing the life that's inside of them. There's a life. God chose them. He chose that certain sunflower, and you're going to be the sunflower. And all that thing's got to do is be a sunflower, saints of God. And when it be a sunflower, and if it just drinks nourishment and feeds on the Word, saints, it'll be the best it can possibly be. When I talked about unity a while ago, Satan, the one of the greatest things that he would love to do is cause divisions. Divisions in churches, divisions in homes, because a house divided can't stand. But if you take a church that's together in unity, saints of God, saints, it don't matter what the devil puts before you, you're going to stand. Can you say amen?
Amen. Yeah.
Because you're in unity of faith. And I mentioned here a few weeks ago about how in the army, you'd have the drill sergeant and he would be telling each one, left, 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 right, left. And only thing that they got to do is march in step with what that drill sergeant's telling them to be. That drill sergeant will say, left, left. I'm not going to try to march it because I can't. Left, right, left. And to the soldiers, they can say, this man doesn't know what he's doing. This drill sergeant does not know what he's doing, because if he knew what he was doing, he'd be teaching us how to hold the guns right now. If this drill sergeant knew what he was doing, he'd be telling us to carry our backpacks right now. But instead, this drill sergeant is just saying, left, 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 right, left. And these soldiers, in their mind, they're saying, this guy doesn't even know what he's doing. Sound like a bunch of kids, don't it? You know, let's say, daddy don't know nothing. It's amazing how much daddy learns between a certain amount of years. Then you realize, boy, daddy knows quite a bit. But you know what? This soldier, this sergeant, he knows what he needs to do for his men. He knows exactly where they're at. And though the men may say, I am ready to go to battle, he knows exactly where they're at. And he says, no, what you need to learn right now is unity. Because when you learn unity, you're in one with the general, you're in one with your man over here, you're in one with this man over here, and you're all in one mind and you're all in one accord. Because see, if you've got one man that's thinking, we're supposed to be carrying backpacks, one man over here thinks you've got to be doing this, one man thinks he'll be shooting the guns, saints of God, is that harmony? I'm going somewhere with this. From our perspective, we can look at it and say, if this leader knew where he was going, he would be doing this. He would be doing all these different directions. He'd be going this way. And if I was to take every person here and get a tally sheet and say, what is your vision for this right now of leadership? I bet we'd have about 15 different answers. Would you agree with that? Because when you get two different men, you get two different ideas. You get three different men, you get sometimes five different ideas. That's right. We used to have the green room there at Planners, and these men, we'd come with ideas. And they say, think outside the box. Come up with good ideas. And sometimes they need to get back in the box. Some of the ideas they come up, I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Because man's ideas, you know, man, we like to dig deep, you know, and come up with life savings and there are life savings ways to save money for the company. But see, it's because man's thinking. Man's got a different idea about everything. And let's say we're going to build a church, and the first thing we're going to do is talk about the building, is we got to have a blueprint. And it starts out with a man with a vision. And this man with this vision, Brother Tony, he's going to say it's going to have so many windows. It's going to have so many doors. It's going to have so many of this. Now, if we was to say, okay, brothers, we're going to build a church, and we're going to put this blueprint together, and I want all you brothers to work tonight, and I want you all to build your blueprint, because we're going to start building next Monday. Now, I want to ask you, how many blueprints would we have? We would have one that looked like maybe a church looked like a triangle, one looked like a circle, one looked like a big rectangle. We'd have all kinds of different ideas. And there's no harmony in that. And you'd say that would be silly for someone to try to build a church like that. That'd be silly for someone to try to build a building like that. But how much more silly is it when you try to build the kingdom of God for the bride of Jesus Christ on man's ideas? See, man's got ideas and said, this is the way the bride's supposed to be. This is the way it's supposed to go. But see, if you'll go back to the blueprint, saints of God, and every man get the same blueprint, and every man work together on the same mind, saints, you'll put the building in the same place. You'll put the window in the same place. But see, there's so many different blueprints in the land today. There's blueprints, saints of God, of saying the evidence of the Holy Ghost is whenever you can feel the presence of God in your life. Mm-hmm. Saints of God, if that was the evidence of the Holy Ghost, I'd been lost a long time ago. Mm-hmm. There's some days, you know, I go through the life, and through the whole day, and not feel the presence of God at all. Right. In feelings. Right. You say, Brother Daniel, you're lost. You shouldn't even be preaching. You don't feel the Holy Ghost? Saints of God, there's days you won't feel Him at all. But He never said, do you feel it?
Right. Right.
He never said, do you see it? He said, do you believe it?
Right.
Saints of God, when God first called me, when God called me, He spoke. He dealt with my heart. He didn't deal with my mind. He dealt with my heart. And see, it's something on the inside that where, even though in my mind I didn't want to serve God, there was something inside my heart that said, come to me. Come to me. And you know what I can remember, and I'm going to have to Brother Branham had to be honest about things about him that he was ashamed of, and I got to do the same thing for myself. You know, I come from a background that I'm ashamed of to talk about it. I come from a background of, I can remember when God began to deal with my heart as a teenager, I used to do drugs. I used to drink alcohol. And I can remember a time that I went to in my parents' house. It's so important for parents to have a clean house. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about just dust, saints of God. That's good to have that clean too. But I'm talking about things that are ungodly. And I can remember as a teenager, I was about 13 years old. And at the prime of life, I was feeling the strength and the energy, and I was excited because I was a male, and I had finally had testosterone coming through, and boy, I was starting to feel some muscles, you know, and I was a 13-year-old boy, and I was ready to fight the world, I'm telling you. Just let them come. And I remember one day I went into my parents' house, where I lived at the time, and it was just me, and I was fumbling through the cabinets inside the house, and I found a big jar of water. And it was sealed in a can, in a bottle. And I thought, boy, I'm thirsty. Now, there's a faucet right here, but there's water up here in a jar. And I thought to myself, you know what? That must be really good water. Because they have got that sealed up in a jar, put up in a cabinet. This has got to be the good stuff. They're giving me this old nasty tap water, and they've got filtered water. It's filtered, all right. I pulled that old jar down out of the cabinet, took me a swallow of it, and I mean, it burned all the way down. I was like, that is some hot water. And I put that thing up inside the cabinet. I shut the door.
And I went outside and I was in shock. I was thinking, what in the world have I just gotten a hold of? I don't know what it was, but maybe just a little bit more. I go back inside the house. I open the cabinet up. Just a little bit more. It was something different, and it was something that caught my attention. And I took another swallow of it. I was like, boy, that burns. Put it up. Go back outside. And I sit down on the swing. And it's calling me again. Ain't that just like the devil? He'll let you get one taste. You aren't trying to get it yourself. You were just, I was going through the house looking. I can't remember what I was looking for. I was looking for something. And I stumbled onto it, saints of God. And I took that one swallow. And that swallow right there, 13 years old when I started drinking. And then every chance I got from that, saints of God, after that, from that day on, from that time on, started my walk on drinking, 13 years old. And I remember before too long, the jar was this full, and now it was about like that, and Mom and Dad's coming back pretty soon, so I need to make preparations to fill this bottle up. Well, it looks like water. Why not? I just turned the water on, filled it back up. So now not only am I drinking, now I'm lying. And stealing. And saints of God, none of that ever happened. I did not wake up that morning and say, today I'm going to start my road on drinking. Today I'm going to start my road on doing this. Today I'm going to lie to my parents. You didn't start that way. Saints, I started a normal walk. You've got to realize that we have an enemy that walks as a roaring lion seeking whom may devour. I was 13 years old, saints of God, and that started my road on drinking. And my parents had split up and gotten a divorce. And my mother married an alcoholic. And this man, I don't know why I'm going this way, but just bear with me, saints of God. When I was with my family then, with my father, rather than my father teaching me the good things in life, he began to teach me the different brands of alcohol. He began to teach me about all the different ones you could take. And where a family should have been teaching me how to pray, how to seek God, how to go to meetings and seek God for a revival in my life, I was thinking for the next night of getting drunk. Saints of God, Satan is nothing but to kill, steal, and destroy. You can look on this natural circumstance of what I'm talking about. You say, Brother Daniel, you're preaching. I don't know why in the world you're preaching that. None of us in here drink. None of us in here smoke. None of us do those things. I believe that. And thank God for that. The saints of God, there's other things that are just as binding as those things. There's nothing like being bound. Because you know what? When you're bound, when you're really bound, saints of God, when you've got your arms, as Brother Cliff was preaching this last night, talking about Lazarus was mashed up. He was saying Lazarus couldn't raise his hands up because he was bound. Saints, when you're bound up, you can't release yourself. You can't. I can remember my uncles were horrible when we were younger. They would take us outside and wrap us up with duct tape around the post and tie us all the way down, this fresh down with the water hose. And then all the neighbors would be coming by, people coming by, and you're like, hey. Well, you can't do nothing. You're bound, right? When you're bound, you can't get free. Saints of God, I remember as God began to deal with my heart. And sometimes you don't realize it's God talking to you when it is God talking to you. A lot of times you think it's just, you know, because a man or a woman goes to church and they start saying certain things. They're just saying those things because they go to church. But sometimes it's God talking to you. And I remember Sister Lily Harp. How many remember Sister Lily Harp? I used to hate being around her because she was a Christian. And, you know, I remember that as high school had gone up and I was about 16, 17 years old, I was driving. And I was 16 years old. I had 3 trucks. I bought them all myself. I was doing pretty good. Had my own place.
And I had my my eyes set in the kind of the right direction as far as I don't know what you call it, a good standpoint, I guess, of a young man on his own. I'd bought three trucks and had a good paying job. I was a manager of a Taco Bell, and I was going to school. But I had something that was holding on to me, saints of God, that started when I was 13 years old. And I was drinking. And I couldn't get away from it. And our brother said last night, Brother Cliff was mentioning about an addiction. And I'm sure he won't mind me bringing this up, is when someone's addicted to a drug or something, you can go, if you're just going by for a weekend and you have to drink and you can go all week, that's not really an addiction. But an addiction is when it becomes to a point where you have to have it every day. Every single day. And saints, I can say an alcoholic come to a point, I had to have it every single day. And I can remember in my heart asking why. Why have all these bad things happened in my life? Why did I have to go down this road? Why did I have to come through an abusive home? Why, God? And I can remember very distinctly one time, saints, God, it was about 2:30 in the morning. I woke up and I was just groaning on the inside. And the only thing I knew to do for that was go drink. I remember I sat inside the kitchen. And when you go inside the wall, you got your cabinets right here. And you got your icebox. And I remember, saints, I got me some alcohol. And I sat down right there and I began to drink. And I just began to cry. And I said, God, why? I've got something inside here that's groaning for something more. And I'm trying to fill it, God. But the more I drink, the more thirsty I am. Saints of God, I didn't know what to do. Because no one was coming with me with the gospel and saying, Brother Daniel, here, let me help you. But you know what they were quick to say? A lot of my family was quick to say, he's a dope head. He's an alcoholic. He was all these things. They condemned me to death. And saints of God, when someone's going through something like that, they don't need someone to beat them down.
That's right.
They need someone to reach down their hand and pull them up. Remember that, saints of God, when you've got someone that's bound by something, they don't need someone to condemn them. They already know they're condemned. They don't need someone to tell them they're ungodly. They know they're ungodly. They need someone to reach down and pick them up. And I can remember, like I said, Sister Lily, she didn't ever condemn me. But I sure didn't feel condemned as around the life she lived, you know. And I can remember I was sitting there and I was so bound, saints of God. And I remember I was sitting there in the living room or in the kitchen. And I just threw the alcohol against the wall. I had friends inside there. And they said, Daniel, what is the matter with you? I said, man, I said, I can't go on like this anymore. I said, something's going to have to give or I can't go like this anymore. I can't. Something's got to give. God was speaking to my heart and I didn't even realize it. God was dealing with my heart, saints of God. And see, a lot of times we miss it when God's calling us. A lot of times we'll be going through something in our life and we don't understand why. Why am I going through this, God? Why? But you know what? You can get so bound. So bound, saints of God, you don't even know what to do. And I can remember one night at a party. We had a rock and roll party during that night. In this rock and roll party, we had a hard rock music playing. It was Bodies Hit the Floor. And it's a very violent song, and we were drinking, and we were trying to have a good time. But you see, God was putting a voice. He was giving me a voice that was speaking to my heart, and I wanted to drown that voice out the best I could. In the midst of this song of this hard rock music, saints of God, God began to speak to my heart and make it clean to me. And that night, saints of God, I don't know how to explain it, but I knew He was real. I knew God was real. And I know a lot of you have heard the testimony, but there's some here that ain't. In the midst of this song, I told him, I said, you know what? I said, we have a king. I said, He come and died for us. I said, and I'm sitting here polluting my body. And these guys that were at the party, they said, what are you talking about? I want you to think about this. This man is drunk. He's drinking.
got rock and roll music, got all these things, and now he's saying God's talking to him. A lot of times you'll find out, and this ain't just to be common, but it's the truth. The most religious people you'll ever talk to is someone's drunk. Is that the truth or not? Sometimes I think we need to get more drunk since God's word talk and get a little bit more religious. Don't do that. Drunk in the spirit, maybe. Stimulation of revelation. But you know what? I remember saints of God. Brother Jason Parker, me and him was good friends. God dealt with him the same way. You know what? Whenever he'd begin to get drinking, God would begin to deal with his heart. Why is it? He began to open himself up and be real. Something about drinking, and I'm not promoting drinking, but something about drinking is when you do that, you begin to let your hair down, so to speak. You begin to just be open. You begin to say, you know what? I'm a man of failures. I'm a man of faults. I'm a man of mistakes. But it's in a perverted way. Saints of God, I feel like we need to get drunk this morning on the Spirit of God. I'm talking about where you can pray to a point, saints of God, where you finally stop putting up the front that everything's okay when you know it's not. Stop putting up the front that everything's fine, I'm doing just fine, and finally say, God, I need help. I need your help. Because you know what? When you finally do that, He can help you. But the first step to ever getting help is realizing you need help. Saints of God, I had been bound to drinking since I was 13 years old. I was 18 years old when I committed my heart to God. And whenever I went to my room, my prayer closet, I did not even know how to pray. I didn't have a preacher there. I didn't have a singer there. It was me and God. And I committed to God and I said, God, I know this is real. I know this is real. And I know that you're real. I said, God, if you'll show me your truth, I will serve you this day forth the best of my knowledge. And saints of God, it's been 10 years now. Mm-hmm. I've been serving the Lord. 10 years. Now, I was talking to a man here this the other day. I talked to him about how God saved my life and changed my life. And you know what he said? It's impossible. God don't work like that. God don't save like that. I said, man, if you had told me 10 years ago, I would have believed you. But you're a little late now.
That's right.
I want you to think about something that God has moved in your life, yourself. And you know God did that. How peculiar was it? How crazy was it? Does God work in ways that make sense, or does He do things in oddball? You look at the children of Israel, and they were bound in Egypt. Moses was a man 40 years old, next to be heir. He was strong. He had wisdom. He had all these things. But did God go that way? No, he wanted to do it the most ridiculous way possible. He waited till a man got 80 years old, flabby arms, and walking toward Egypt, a man that met God that looked absolutely ridiculous. Now, I don't know about you, but in my physical body, if I was looking for a leader to teach me in combat, I would want someone that I thought was at least going to be able to breathe whenever we get over there. Well, you're talking about a man that's so old, he's probably going to die of a stroke before we even get there. Natural thinking. I want you to think about how ridiculous was this? This man is 80 years old. 80 years old. Man flagging arms, slinging his arm. Like I said, the soldiers think they know everything, right? This man is saying, I'm going to take Egypt over. It's ridiculous, but God did it. That's the crazy thing about it, is God did it. You know what? I can look at myself and say, you know what? God can say, I'm going to put him through a rock and roll party. I'm going to put him through a life of drugs. I'm going to put him through a life of drinking. I'm going to put him through a life of these things. And I'm going to make him the bride of Jesus Christ. To the carnal thinking, the way you're looking at, you would say, God, you're making a big mistake. Because nobody knows me like I do. And nobody knows you like you do. And as much as we would love to be able to present ourselves as little angels, let's put our angels under your seats for just a little while. Let's just be honest. We've all fallen short, saints of God. I've done things in my life I am so ashamed of. I won't even bring it up. But God used me. And God's using you. And God chose you out of everybody else. In our school, they had a Bible get together in the school there. When God was beginning to deal with my heart and I finally committed my heart to God, I wanted to find somebody that believed like I did. Something real. I didn't want to look for Baptist. I didn't want to look for Presbyterian. I didn't want to look for Pentecostal. I wanted to look for somebody that believed like I did. I didn't even know how I believed. But one thing I knew is this was real. And that's what I wanted. I wanted to find somebody that had something that was real. And saints, I remember we went to this Bible study there inside the school. And I can remember listening to this preacher. It was a Pentecostal preacher that came and began to preach right there inside the school. You wouldn't see that today, probably. But he was sitting there preaching, saints of God, and he was talking about the truth and all these things. He was saying how, you know, you've got to speak in tongues, you've got to do all these things. I know I had something that was real, and I know I never spoke in tongues. But I knew it was real. And so I began to see right there. I said, you know what? God wants to get me by myself. And so I got by myself, saints, with nothing but my Bible and a children's book. Because I began to look through here, and I couldn't find it right now if I wanted to. But I remember whenever I started reading this Bible, every time I'd open it up, I'd see so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. And I'm literally 3 pages down the Bible, and we're still talking about children from that same man. And you're talking about an 18-year-old boy who don't like to read, period. And now all you're hearing is son of so-and-so, son of so-and-so, son of so-and-so. And they're like, my Lord, what am I doing? And I just put the Bible down. I remember I went over and sat down, and I thought to myself, I may as well just quit. Old devil. I said, I may as well just quit. I tried it. But God began to speak to my heart. I want you to think about that whenever you go to studying the message and you can't make heads or tails. When you go to studying that and you're seeing all this, the third pull, the first pull, the second pull, this, that, you can't make heads or tails. The devil will tell you, you may as well just quit. And you'll go sit by yourself. But you know what I did? I sat there and God began to speak to my heart. And He said, start small with what you know. Start with what you know and abide in that. And saints of God, I began to think. I was like, you know what? I remember there was a children's book inside my closet there. I had no idea where it come from. I'm going to get with that and I'm going to start with that. And I started reading through this children's book. And reading in this children's book, I began to read. And you think God can speak to you through children's books? Some of the sermons I've gotten is from Hannah's storybook. I'll read a story. I'll be reading with her and I'm like, Hannah, I'll be right back. But I would get that storybook. And I started reading, and I started, and before too long, oh, son of so-and-so. Yeah, right there, okay. You're reading on down, son of so-and-so. Oh, okay. If you ever find something in the message you can't quite understand, just put it on the shelf.
That's right.
And don't throw it away, just put it on the shelf. And keep on eating pie.
That's right.
Because later on, saints of God, son of so-and-so will make sense. It will. And I remember I began to read that old storybook, and I started seeing how this man Abram. And I remember I'm an 18-year-old boy, and I'm seeing this man Abram. He's a man of authority. He's rich. Oh yeah. 18-year-old boy, rich guy. I want to follow this guy. Anybody got a nice camel? He got one of those broke down donkeys. This man's rich. I started studying about this guy. And as I began to read, I seen how him and his wife were old, right? Now think about this. This man and this woman are old. Right? Old. No offense to old people, but they're old. And I seen how they went to this Egypt, and there was this man, King Abimelech, and this man could have any woman he wanted. Any woman. I'm an 18-year-old boy. Remember my mindset. 18-year-old boy, he could have any woman he wanted, and he wanted this old lady. And I started reading, I was like, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. And I went back in my Bible, and I began to read. I was like, I've missed something. And I started reading through, and I said, this king can have any young 18-year-old girl he wants, and he's going to pick a grandma. And I was right there saying to God with my person. It hit, and I was like, there is something wrong here. Now, no offense to older ladies here. No offense at all. But my wife was 18 and I was 18. And that was kind of what I was looking for in my age group. And I was seeing this man wanted to marry an old lady. I was like, there's something wrong. I couldn't understand it, but I knew there was something there. You know what I did, saints of God? I couldn't understand. I could have threw the Bible out. But you know what I did? I stuck that part right on the shelf and said, God will reveal it to me someday. And I began to keep going through my storybook as my journey with the Lord. And as I was studying here, I was... next point, I got on the subject of the Garden of Eden. And I remember I was looking and I had seen that. And for some reason, I do not know how to explain it. I thought my dad told me. And I'll just bring this right out exactly the way it happened. I knew it was a sex act. I knew it was. But I believe my dad told me that. I went to my grandmother's house. And Rhonda Harp was there and Lily Harp were there. And my grandmother was there. We were sitting there and they said, Daniel, we heard you finally quit drinking, you quit doing all these things, and you finally give your heart to the Lord. We're so glad. You could have just said, I just gave my heart to the Lord. You didn't have to name everything. I said, yeah. I said, I have. I've committed my heart to God. I said, I'm trying to serve Him the best I can. And she said, well, Rhonda Harp said this. She said, well, Daniel, I just want to ask you a question. What do you think happened in the Garden of Eden? I said, it was a sex act with the serpent. And she looked at Lily and she said, you told him. She said, no, I didn't. She said, I never told him. She said, Daniel, how did you know that? I said, I don't know. That's what happened, ain't it? She said, yeah, but how did you know that? I said, my dad told me, I think. I said, I think my dad. As a matter of fact, I know it was. So I go to my dad's house. And I said, Dad, my dad's Seventh-day Adventist. That all right there, I'll tell you something. I went to my dad's house. I said, Dad, in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it a sex act that happened? And he said, what did you say? And like blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And if I've ever seen my dad get riled up over scriptures, he got riled up that day. And he really tried to put me in my place. You know, I said, don't you ever say that. He said, that's silly. Where'd you get that nonsense at? He said, who told you that? I said, I don't know. I thought you did. And my father told me. And Lily told me that day, I went back and I told her, I said, well, Dad said he never told me that. I said, I could have swore it was my dad that told me. I said, I could have swore it was. I said, but apparently it wasn't. She said, Daniel, I want you to come hear this message. I said, God has sent a prophet. And of course, I don't want her to know my insecurities, so I did not want her to know I didn't know what a prophet was. You know, I want to have my front up. I said, yeah, but God always sends prophets. I didn't know what a prophet was. And I said, that ain't nothing. I said, God's been speaking to my heart and inside my bedroom with my children's book and my Bible. You know, I was ready, you know. And she said, Daniel, you should come and hear. This man's J.D. Shepherd. And he's a minister. And she said, Daniel, everything you've been saying about Abimelech, about Abraham, about Garden of Eden, everything you're saying, he's been preaching right down there. I said, yeah, I bet he has. You just want me to come to church with you. And she said, Daniel, I'm telling you, this is the truth. Well, at this time, God will bring you down to as low as you need to go. I had 3 trucks paid for. Bought them all myself. 1, I sold it to a man on payments, and I signed the title first thing. Never do that. That's a lesson right here. Lesson to me, young people. Never, ever, ever do that. Never sign a title over before you get your payment. Mm-hmm. I signed the title over and made an agreement that he's going to pay me payment. There's a man that was poor and needed a truck, helped him out. Never paid him. Lost my truck, number 1. 2nd truck, gave it to a family member on payments. Signed the title over. You think you learned the first time. Lost my 2nd truck. 3rd truck, I worked 2 jobs. I was going to high school and I was working 2 jobs. And I'd work night shift and day shift. School, I'd get out of school at 11:45. I'd go to work at Atwoods, work from 12 to 8. And then from about 8:30, 8:45, I'd go to Taco Bell and work from 8:45 to 2 in the morning. And then I did it every day and went to school. So I want you to remember that. There ain't no sense in quitting school. I made it all the way through and I did that, thanks to God. Listen to me, young people. You need education. You need your education. I pressed myself, and I went to school. I had to do that. He said, why in the world did you work that? Because I had to pay rent, and I had to pay my truck payments. I had to pay child support. and all these things. I'm a 17-year-old boy. Don't think that gets hard. You get stuff sometimes. But my third truck, I finished my first job. I went to go do my second job. Doing good things. I thought, you know. And coming home, I fell asleep behind the wheel and wrecked my truck. And then I had no vehicle. First one I lost because it's on the title. Second one I lost because of the title. The third one I lost it because I fell asleep behind the wheel. And the money that I owed on the payment of the truck, when the insurance broke over, it just broke even. And I thought I was getting a good deal out of this. I took it to the body shop. He said, you got to take it to 3 repair shops. And when they say it's completely totaled, then we're going to, get a new truck. So we went to the first mechanic shop. He said, oh, no, it's totaled. You're trying to get a new truck. This is a nice truck, but come on. I remember, I'm 17 years old, 18 years old. I go to the next body shop. He says, oh, it's totaled. You're just going to get a new truck. I'm like, yes. I go to the third one. He looks at it. He says, I think I could probably get this. I think I probably just need a new truck. You know? I'm looking around. I'm thinking in my mind, I'm going to get a new truck. Well, he means you're going to get a truck, but you're going to pay for it out of your pocket. That's what he was meaning. And so they totaled the truck, and I broke even with the bank, but I was at foot. I had no vehicle. I still got to work. I still got 2 jobs. I still got to go to work. But how in the world am I going to get there? Because now I'm at foot. Sister Rhonda Hart. I'm missing something. I was at school. I got out of school at 11:45. I was at school, and it was in my last hour class, somewhere between 11 and 11:45. Same time, I was sitting inside that classroom and that desk, and God began to... I've never experienced anything up to this point in my life. It was fire on the inside. It was burning. I mean, burning. I mean, just... It was like fire in my bones, is the only way I know how to explain it. And it just got... At first, I was like, I can push it away, and I'm just going to kind of illustrate exactly how it was. I was sitting there, saints of God, and God began to deal with my heart at first, and I was like, that's fine, I'm fine. Heartburn. God's speaking to you, you think it's heartburn. I was sitting here, and I was like, oh, it's nothing. And saints, the more I sat there, the more he began to burn in my heart, and I can't explain it. I was sitting there beside that desk, and I was thinking, I'm about to explode. I am about to explode. And it got so real. Your book's down there, brother. It is so real, saints. If God burned me, I thought I was going to die if I didn't get up and do something. I was sitting there at that desk, and it was just burning, and sweat started coming all across my face. And I go up there, and my teacher, at the time, she said, Daniel, are you okay? I said, no, I'm not. I said, I got to go. I said, I have got to go. I didn't even know where I was going, but I knew I needed to go. Just burning, you know. And I started, and she said, well, go ahead and get out of here. So I'm going, and I get inside my vehicle, and I'm sitting there, and I'm hands on the steering wheel, and I said, God, I don't know what to do about this. And I borrowed this car. And I was sitting there, and I'm saying, God, I don't know what to do about this. This burning. And it was my friend's girlfriend's car, the one I borrowed. It was a little bitty white car. And I was supposed to give that car back to her so she can go to work as soon as school was out. Well, I said, in my heart, God told me to go to Sister Lily Hart's house. And so I went straight to her house. And when I went to her house, saints of God, I was just crying. I was hysterical. And I told her, I said, you know what? I said, I don't even know why I'm here. I said, but I feel like God told me to come here. I said, this prophet you talked about, I want to know about him. Tell me what you know about him. And saints, we sat right there, and she began to, she said, well, I can't really talk much. She said, I can play a tape. And she put a tape by the name of Oddball in. I began to listen to that. I said, yes, that's the truth. You're expecting like dynamite and all these things when he's preaching. But he started talking about fishing. He's talking about hunting. He's talking about all these things. I couldn't explain it, but in my heart, yes. Yes, that's right. That's right. And Rhonda Hart comes in. She says, Daniel, I heard that you need a car. You're having to borrow a car. I said, I am. She said, I have a car for you to sell, for sale. And she said, I want you to come to my house. You can come right now. I'm going to give this car to you. I said, or on payments. I said, okay. So we go to her house, saints. I have to go drop this car off, and I get the chewing out of a lifetime from this girl because I was supposed to take the car back like 2 hours ago, but I got to listen to the tape. I don't know if you've ever noticed it. If you go listen to Brother Brenham's sermon, you better plan for a long trip because a lot of them sermons are long, you know. And I wanted to stay for the whole thing. And I was pretty late, and she chewed me out pretty good, and I said, I'm sorry.
Well, I go to Rhonda Harp's house. And when I get to Rhonda Harp's house, saints of God, I'm ready to get this vehicle and get on the road. She said, Daniel, she said, before we do this, I want you to read this book. It's as the eagle stirreth its nest. And I think to myself, I'm not really much of a reader. I said, but I'll look through a few of the pages. She said, go ahead, do this. Me and Lily's going to drink a glass of tea. We'll go settle the paperwork. You can go on your way. Saints, I began to sit on this porch swing, and I began to read about the as the eagle stirs its nest. And I began to read about how this little eagle was in this barnyard, saints of God. And he couldn't understand why in the world he was put in a situation like he was. He couldn't understand it, saints. He tried to be a chicken. He tried to act like them. He could try. You can try. You'll never fit in. But one day he had that mama eagle come across and scream that scream. And on the inside of him, saints, he knew, that's me. I can remember I was reading halfway through this book and Rhonda Harp's come out and she said, Daniel, she said, I guess we're ready. I said, you guys go drink another glass of tea. I said, we ain't going nowhere. Yeah, I said, I've got to finish this book. And so I read this book. Saints of God, I am crying. I'm reading through the pages. I'm like, yes, this is me. I'll be excited. We'll get in the car and things. And I told her, I'm going to church with you this weekend. I'm going to go. I want to hear this man preach. And saints of God, I've already told you the things God had dealt with my heart on. Number one, he dealt with me with the old lady. And the king wanted to marry her. That's crazy. That's number one, God dealt with me. Number two was the Garden of Eden, the sex act. I couldn't explain how it happened, but I knew what happened. I knew that's what happened. And number three was where I knew I was dead. I knew I was different, saints of God. I couldn't explain why. I don't know why I am the way I am. I'm just weird. We go to hear this sermon, saints of God. I've never talked to the man in my life. Never spoke to him. I went back there. They were singing these songs. Now remember, I'm used to serving God inside my bedroom. There's no worship. There's no singing. There's all these things. They're singing these weird songs like Amazing Grace, and I tried. I'm like, hey, luckily I sing now. It ain't changed. I'm trying to sing with them the best I can. I don't know the words, and they got this old projector. And Brother Sidney Dean was sitting up there, and he just walked the pages out and put them on the wall. All these songs, and I couldn't understand a word of the songs, but the atmosphere was awesome. I mean, it was awesome. It's like coming out of the oven into the microwave. Into the air conditioner, you know. You're feeling great when you come inside. You feel awesome. And this atmosphere was just great. I could have went home just about right then and said, that felt good. You know, it's good to be in church. This man got up there and preached. Saints, God is my witness. That man started with Abraham. He began to talk about how Abraham and Sarah went there. And this, he said, now, I'm trying to be quiet, you know. He was preaching this sermon. He said, I want you to ask you a question. He said, would this man want to marry some old woman? I said, no way. I'm going to get in trouble already. You know? That's right. I knew that was right. There was something on the inside of me that was agreeing with that word. I couldn't explain it. I knew it. And he went right on down the line, saints. For too long, he said, I don't know why I'm going this way, but he said, in the Garden of Eden, he said it was a sect, and he went down in detail. Exactly. I said, yes, yes, yes. And Brother Hart was there at that time, and he'd look over at me. I'm like, I didn't really know Brother Hart very well at that time, you know. And I thought, this old man going to get me. He started preaching about that, saints of God, and then he began to preach about identification. Talking about how, and then he finally finished up with, as the eagle stirs the nest. Saints of God, you talk about a young man on fire for God. I was hearing that, and I was like, yes, praise the Lord. I mean, I was ready to go. So the first thing I wanted to do was run with this message that I had. I've got the message. It's the truth. And all I knew was bits and pieces of it. But by golly, I know it. I went to church, and I began preaching. And you know what they said? You're crazy. Everybody I talked to said, you are crazy. You're crazy. There's no way that this happened. There's no way this happened. And all I knew is what I had was real. You have something real?
Amen.
Saints of God, I think we need to get fired up. We need to think about how real we really think it is and how excited we really get about it. I get excited about it because it's real, saints of God. This is real to me.
And I go here and I'm telling, I said, let's have Bible studies. Let's do these things. Let's have truth. I want to. And Vince Hart called me Preacher Dan in school. And
at one time, everybody loved to see me because we'd have parties in my house. Now, when I go down the hallway, they see me, they start scattering. They start going to the other rooms. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I got to show you something I've seen. And I would take my Bible with me to school. And I'd read my Bible in my classes, and I would just look at all these nuggets. And they were just so awesome. And I've never, at this point, I have no MP3 CDs. I have no messages, books. I didn't even know they made them. I did not know they even made them. I knew they had tapes because Lily had them. But I didn't have any tapes. And I go to a Bible study, and I made my commitment. I said, I'm no girls. All I'm going to do is commit God. I said, the next girl I date will be the girl I marry. And my teacher at the home ec class, she really liked me. She thought I had a lot of potential. And she kept trying to say, Daniel, I know a lot of Christian girls I go to church with. She said, they're clean. I said, no. I said, the next girl I date will be the girl I marry. And she tried continuously. I believe she had a good intention in her heart. I believe she did. And she kept trying to say, Daniel, I know girls. She said, they're good girls. They've been raised in church. I said, no. I said, I pray and I committed to God. The next girl I date will be the girl I marry. I said, I'm not dating at all until God shows me. And I'm going around and we're going to have a Bible study. And I start going through the town and I'm literally going through the town, saying to God, knocking on doors and saying, we are having a Bible study. Do you want to come? You ever done that? You'd be surprised the responses you get. If I want to go to church, I'll go to church. I don't need you. Okay, just ask him. And I went down here and I went to one of my friends. She was a girl. She was a friend. And my wife was there. I hadn't seen my wife in 3 years. Almost 4 years. Had not seen her. But I committed my heart to God. The next girl I date, well, I married. I testified of that. I went through here and I went there for no other reason than to ask them to go to a Bible study. I said, y'all want to go to a Bible study? We're having a Bible study tomorrow night. I said, you guys are actually tonight. Y'all want to come? And they said, no. And my wife said, I want to go. But I can't tonight. She said, God's been dealing with my heart too. She said, I want to go to church. She said, but everything I see, I hear this girl speak to my... There's nothing there. I said, I know exactly what you mean. You've got to come taste some of this stuff I've got. It's good stuff. And thanks to God, we went to church together for probably 3 months. Friends. And one day, you know, we was going down the road. And I said, you know what? So we've been going to church together for a while now. I think it's time we started calling you by my name. And she said, okay. Let's get driving. That's as good as it got. Yeah? And from that time on, we started being together. But I'm telling you what we seen was real saints of God. We seen the Word of God. We knew it was real and it was changing our lives. And before too long, it come time to the stage where I needed to ask this girl to marry me. And I had all the thoughts in my mind. You've seen the movies and the romances and all these things, the waterfalls and all that nonsense. I said, I can't do that. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And I was like, now she's worthy of it. Don't get me wrong. She's worthy of it. I tried. And every time I'd go to try to do it, I just couldn't quite get the words out. So finally, one day we were going down the road. We were going to church. Driving. I said, we're getting married. She said, okay. I should have been a little bit more romantic. Brother Tony's seminar he had, you ever felt like he was on coals? I felt like I was on hot coals and someone had a fan just... I was like, I should have been a little bit more romantic about it. But you know what? We ended up getting married and we're going to get married and we called her mom. We said, hey, she said, me and Daniel's getting married. She said, okay, when y'all getting married? I said, tomorrow. She said, tomorrow? I have to work tomorrow. I said, well, if you won't be there, you better get off work. We're getting married tomorrow. Because see, we weren't living right. See, we came to a point where we just weren't living right. And we wanted to live right before the Lord. And we said, no more of this. And we got married the very next day. And I can remember, and I'll try to be quitting for too long. We were going to her mother's house, and I was going to marry this girl. I had decided, you know,
My brother was there, and her mother-in-law was there, and she was crying. And over by the vehicle, my brother said, "Man, she's crying." I said, "Yeah, she's upset because she's so excited because she's going, I'm marrying her." He said, "No, I think she messed her finger in the door." I looked over there, and her finger was in the door. And I was like, my ego went about like that, you know. Because I thought she's crying because she's excited about me, but really she's crying, she's got a finger in the door. And so I go to her rescue and pull the finger out, and so we get married. She's got bandage all over her hand, blood, you know, and we end up getting married, you know. We're just not family. You know what? But that right there started my walk with my wife. If you ever, Brother Brown talks about an oddball family, I'm saints of God, it don't get odder than a black family. I'm telling you. But you know what? I can look down our life and see how God has put us together. And there's nothing like my wife. We have been through trials. We have seen things come, but we didn't know how in the world we're going to get through it. But you know what? Every time, saints of God, it's always brought us closer to one another. It brought unity. It brought a love. You know what? That's how God brings unity a lot of times, is He allows bad things happen. Brother Branham said one time, he said, everything will be going fine. He said, all of a sudden, some problems start happening. He said, what's God doing? He's getting His people together. Problems will start happening. Me and my wife started getting closer together. You know what? We have never had an argument except she got out of line. That's not true. Saints of God, that was our biggest problem at first, is I had to come to the point of realizing sometimes I make mistakes. Sometimes I'm wrong. And my wife's sometimes right. A lot of times it's the majority of the time she's right. No, I'll be thinking about going to buy something and I'll say, "I think we need to go buy this." She said, "Daniel, I don't think we should do that." I said, "Oh, I've got it. I've got the mind on this. We're going to do that." And after we buy it, I'm like, "I shouldn't have bought it." She said, "I told you. I told you we shouldn't have bought it." You know, I started realizing then, if I would ask my wife to pray with me about it and ask her what she thinks about it, it's a good thing to listen. Brother, that's a good lesson for you. Listen. Because you know what? Sometimes God will speak to your wife. Sometimes you get that ego, you know, I'm the man. I got these things under control. Yeah, you got it under control, all right. For too long, you'll be so dead over your ears, you don't know what in the world you're going to do if you just listen. I don't mean to bore you, saints of God. I ask you to go ahead and stand up. And stand to your feet. This is my personal testimony about how I have come to the Lord. About how God dealt with my heart. And He took a man that was, or a boy, that started out bound by moonshine. A man that was bound by drugs. A man that was bound by a broken home. And God can give me a wife that loves me. God can give me a message that identifies me. And saints, we've been through a lot of trials, me and my family. And I believe last year was the hardest trial we've ever been through in our life. It was the hardest, saints of God. It was a trial where I had love for you, saints, before. I did. But nothing like I do today. Because when I went through this trial with my back and all the other trials that went with it, saints of God, it was during those times I really appreciated you. I really appreciated you always being there praying for me. I've always appreciated, you know, because sometimes you feel so low, so beat down. Because whenever my back first got hurt, saints of God, it was the most embarrassing thing I'd ever felt. Embarrassing feeling. You know why? You say, why would you feel embarrassed about that? Because I've always been one from weightlifting. I've always been one that was very safe about lifting the way you lift. I've actually preached about that. About how you should be able to lift and bend properly and do all these things. And then whenever the doctors were saying, you know what, you're going to be handicapped, it was embarrassing to me. I want to confess to you, it was embarrassing to me. And it felt so bad, saints of God, I didn't even want to look in the mirror. I did not look in the mirror. For a long time, I wouldn't even look. I was embarrassed because what have I become? What have I done?
But you know what? You saints have always been there for me. You've always been there to encourage me. And there was one time I was going through the hardest pain in my life. I'm going to show you some of the simplest things you can do sometimes that'll mean more than you'll ever realize. I was going through all this pain in my back and it was hurting so bad I'd sit there and sweat and just cry. It hurt so bad. Brother Tony Roberts sent $5 or whatever it was to my wife. He said, get that man some ice cream. Remember that, brother? He spent $5 or whatever it was. That's not a whole lot. It's a little bit, saints of God. He said, send that to that brother and give him some ice cream. And I'm going to tell you what, that's the best tasting ice cream I've ever had. You know why it tastes so good? Because I got to thinking, you know what, every time I bought that, I said, that brother was thinking about me. And he was concerned and he knows that I'm hurting right now. And that brother's mindful of me. And he was thinking to myself, what can I do to make this brother feel a little better? And he said, you know what, I'm going to get him some ice cream. Saints of God, that was the best ice cream I ever ate. It was good. My wife wanted some. I said, get your own. He sent that for me. He said, that's terrible, Brother Daniel. It's my buddy. Saints of God, little things you do for one another. Sometimes you might think, you know what? They don't mean nothing. It does. You know what? The little things, whenever you look at one another and you just say, you know what, brother? Like, for instance, Brother David, I missed you the other day. I noticed you was gone. I missed this brother when he was gone. And usually you might say, well, you know what? That don't mean nothing. It means something. Isn't that right, brother? You know what? When I'm gone, I like it when someone comes and say, you know what, Brother Daniel? We missed you when you were gone today. We've got some families that aren't here today. Saints of God, you know what we ought to do when they come? We ought to flock around them like a bunch of geese around a bunch of feet. We ought to let them know how much we love them. How much we miss them. Not just because we have to, but because we do. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I'm talking about unity right now, saints of God. You know what? The little things we do for one another, they mean something. Sister Pansy, I've got a little blue pillow at my house that Sister Pansy made for me. I didn't ask her. I didn't call her up and say, Sister Pansy, I want you to do this. No. In her own heart, her own mind, she took the time and she made me a little pillow. And she made me this pillow. And she said, Brother Daniel, I just thought this might work with your back and make your back feel better. You know where that pillow is at today? I don't need it in church anymore, but I got it right by my head I was, matter of fact, I used it last night. Right there. You know why? She gave that to me. It means something to me. She gave it from her heart. Saints of God, I've got cards, stacks of cards with the young people who used to write me cards. I remember one time we was going to Kennett, Missouri. And we were going, and Brother Tim Lane drove the van. Sister Catherine and Wynn, I think. We all went to Kennett, Missouri, and we've got a picture with the young people. They gave me a card on the way to that trip. And saints of God, someone could have gave me a brand new Chevy pickup. It would not have meant as much as that card does. Because it means something. Because they give it from their heart. And you know what? True giving. Brother Branham talked, I'm fixing to quit, I promise. Brother Branham talked about that evangelist that come through. And this evangelist, when he was coming through, he said that they were taking up an offering, and people were giving offerings to him. He said, and this one little girl gave him a little sucker and stuck it inside that offering. He said, whenever he looked at that sucker, saints of God, it meant more to him than anything. Because she gave everything she had. Saints of God, it don't matter how much you've got, but are you giving it from your heart? You know what? That's what I want to see so much in this body is a love between us, saints of God, that everything we do it from our heart. But we can say, you know what? I do it because I love you. Because saints of God, I do love you. I do appreciate you. And you know what? I know you fight battles. I fight battles too. But you know what? We can fight these things together. Because we're going to cross at the same time. I'm going to ask every head to be bowed. Saints of God, I love you more than anything. And I know that we're going through a hard time sometimes, and sometimes maybe you don't understand the things that's going on. But we're going to make it, saints of God. And if you've got a need this afternoon, maybe you just say, you know what, Brother Daniel, I've got a little bitterness in my life, or I'm not quite serving the Lord like the way I want to. but I want to do a little better. Why don't you just lift your hand up to the Lord right now? God sees your hand, saints of God. And He wants you to draw closer to Him. We're going to pray together. And if you want me to pray with you up front, you're sure welcome to come up front here. I'd be glad to pray with you. Brother Tony will be here. Let's just pray together. Pray for one another, saints. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And Father, as I've been trying to testify the best of my knowledge, Lord, the best of my remembrance and what I've seen you bring me through, Lord. God, you've given me my wife, Lord. You've given me this church, Lord, this precious portion of the bride, Lord. Father, and they've lifted their hands, Lord Jesus, and they're saying, Lord, I want to be closer to you, Lord. Father, I know you see their hands, Lord. Father, we want to be more of a unity church, God, where we're more in unity. Father, God, I look at the empty seats, Lord. Father, I see service after service where certain saints don't come. God, and my heart is heavy for them this morning, Lord. Lord, I commit them to you right now, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, every hand that's gone up, Father, I commit them to you, Father. Lord, may you bring such a love between us, Lord Jesus. May you just bowl us out with that love, oh God. Bowl out any dross, any bitterness, oh God, anything that's unlike you, Lord Jesus. I ask you, Father, to bowl us out this morning, Lord. Lord, touch every heart here, Lord. May the love of God reign in our hearts, Lord. Lord, may it reign in our homes, Lord Jesus. Meet every need among us, Father. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you so much, Lord, for your grace you've given us this morning, Lord. God, I thank you for Brother Tony, Lord Jesus, and Sister Elisa, Lord. Lord, thank you for sending them to us, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I know the battle's been hard for them, God, but Lord, would you give them strength, Lord Jesus. Lord, our Brother Tim Lane and their family, Lord, they drive so far, Lord. But Father, they feel something on the inside, Lord, that's calling them, Father. Lord, I ask you to bless them, Lord. May they realize how much we really appreciate them, Lord. Lord Jesus, I look at Sister Pansy, oh God. And Father, she's, for all these miles she drives, Lord, all by herself, oh God. May she realize how precious she is to the body, Lord. Oh God, I could go down the line and name every one, Lord Jesus, of how precious they are to you, Lord. God, I ask you, Lord, may you bring such a love into our life, Lord. Such a love between us, Lord Jesus, that there'll be no schisms in this body, Lord. But there'll be unity, Lord Jesus. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ask the musicians to come forward. Saints of God, if any of you need prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you individually. I want you to understand how precious you are. You know, sometimes you may feel like you're not. Sometimes you may feel like you don't matter. You matter, saints of God. You're a very important part of this body. And we would not be the same without each and every one of you. We're going to ask anybody that has needed prayer to just come forward. Husband right now, Lord Jesus. Oh God, bring such inspiration in his life, Lord. Lord, grant his sister this petition she's asked of you this morning, Lord. Lord, grant it, Father's name, that she see how precious she is in your sight.
want bitterness, Lord, in his life, Lord God. He wants a love, Lord Jesus, beyond sublime, Lord. Lord, I ask you, Lord, you'll mend the wound, Lord Jesus. Oh God, may the bomb of Gilead come now, Lord Jesus. Touch my brother, Lord. Lord, and may you bring such a love into his life, Lord. Such a harmony in him, Lord, that he can just, Lord, rejoice in, Lord, the joy of his salvation, Lord Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to be the Lord of every spirit in his life.
Sitting back there, he is my son because he is part of me. It was part of who he was. It was in me. And just because he's come out for me doesn't mean he's not part of me. He has the same gene in him that I have in me. He is of the Roberts family. And he'll always be my son because I imparted to him that gene. And that's our God. Our God is that way. We are his children. He, before we ever knew him, he had thought of us and wanted to have fellowship with us. But when he sent us into this world, he imparted to us his gene. And there's nothing Satan will ever do to take that away. That's just all there is to it. And so when we sing that song, I have a father, he called me his own, and he'll never leave me, no matter where I go. Amen. And that's the revelation that God wants you and I to have, exactly of who we are, where we come from, and what it's all about. You know, Brother Daniel was talking about the flower a little while ago, how it has the right, all the petals and all the things and the right smell. And all I can say about that, the thought that comes to mind when he was saying that, was that those flowers and all the different things, meaning you and I and everything else that God makes, that flower is an able minister. An able minister to put out what God has called it to be. He's called it to have a certain smell, have a certain appearance. And that flower can be that because God has made it able to do that. That flower can't have another smell. It can't have another appearance. It's not been made an able minister of another appearance or of another life. You see what I'm saying? But God has made it able to minister what it is to the generation that it stands in. And so we realize that God has done that. You find out that we, because he put his life in us, and for this generation, we're birthed to an age. We're birthed to a message that's the answer of an age. And we find out that God has made us able to answer this age. And that's what I'm trying to get at, is because in this hour, looks dark out there. Looks like there's all kinds of things that Satan's going to have his way with. But God has made you and I the answer to that age, with the answer that age needs. I'll put it that way. He's made us able ministers to minister to them the things that we are. I was listening to a brother, I forget which one it was. I think Wayne Lawson was speaking of another brother. I know him, but I can't think of his name right now. And I don't know that you know him. Dale Smith, I believe, is his name. He was building a house. And he went and, you know, anybody trying to do something like that, try to get the best deals. He went to a tile place. I don't know, maybe you brothers might have heard this, but he went to a tile place to buy a tile, and he wanted to tile his house. And I think he tiled the whole house. I'm not sure. But anyway, he needed a certain amount of tile. He went to this place and they had a real good deal on it, and they had exactly the amount of tile he needed for his house. Well, Brother Dean could probably tell you that if you bought down to the last square of what you needed for your house, you're probably going to get in trouble. You know, I find you have to buy a little extra, because when I was tiling my house, I found out that there were some broken tiles in some of the boxes. Well, this guy, this brother, he bought this tile, exactly what it needed. He went home and he opened up, and one of the first boxes he opened, well, it had a piece of broken tile in it. And you know, when you're working in construction, he just kind of pitched it off out in the weeds where everything else goes, and they clean up after they get their building after a while. And he got down to tiling his house, and he got almost completed, and got off into a closet somewhere and used the last piece of tile, and he had one piece left that he needed, and it was an odd shape. And so that he remembered that piece of tile he threw off out in the weeds. So he had to go out and dig around and through all the everything that had happened, months and months had gone by. And he found that piece of tile, and when he went in there, and lo and behold, it fit just perfect right in there. Now the point I'm getting at is, that was a rejected piece of tile.
Amen.
It was pitched off out into the bushes, just like they rejected our Savior. And just like this world rejects us. It was thrown off out there, but when it come right down to finish the job, there was one predestinated piece of tile that was the only one that could fit that spot. And the whole house was not completed until that one piece got put right back in there where it was to be. And I was thinking about that. That's us. That's our Savior, too. He's the answer. But you know what? God has made us able, and no matter what the world says about it, and whether they want to reject us or whatever, God has made us the answer. And that's what kind of people we are.
Amen.
Because he put that in us. He put that gene in us and made us to be what we are. You know, the scriptures, I'm just saying, First, I want to thank Brother Daniel for taking short notice. And, you know, some of you know, I just, Friday night, just had some dizziness come up on me. And I'm still dealing with it today. However, it's not near as bad as it was. So I want to thank you for your prayers. But thank Brother Daniel for taking short notice of taking service this morning. And you know that, as a minister, you look at that and you say, well, that really shouldn't be. You're supposed to be an image of strength. You're supposed to be someone who's an example. And I remember in the scriptures talking about the resurrection. And sometimes in everything in this life, it's sown in weakness, but it's not raised that way. And there's many times that we have to submit our hands to the thing, to submit ourselves into the things that God puts our way. Sometimes it seems to us an extreme weakness. But God will always bring it out to His glory. It'll always be resurrected in power and glory and strength. And so, you know, that's just kind of the people we are. But I want to thank Brother Daniel for taking the service this morning. Thank you for coming and being here. Thank you for praying for me. Those of you, I know that we probably didn't send prayer requests around to everybody. But, you know, I'd rather have a lot of things than be so dizzy that you can't stand up. But God knows what it's all about. And by His stripes, I'm healed.
Amen.
Amen. That's all I know. By His stripes, I'm healed. So we thank God for His blessings upon us. And Brother Daniel's right. We are family. And so, yeah, we have many needs among us. And he was talking about how that we do things for one another that really speaks to one another's hearts and that sort of thing. We want more of that. But you see, God has to make us able. And so let's just pray that the Lord would give us the guidance and pray that the Lord would put up on our hearts to say and do the things that will answer to the needs of those around us. Just pray that He will give us those kind of things, that kind of leadership. And let's keep Brother Perryman's situation in prayer. I'd like to see God move. I know He's more than able to. And I think with as much battle as it's been for our brother over the years, that Satan's really, it's like a fortification for him, that he doesn't want it to fall, but God is able to make it fall. And so let's just ask the Lord to bless Brother Perryman with a need in his home. Peace will be restored in his home. The strength of God, prayer, the Holy Ghost, the way Brother Perryman has lived all his life, that would be reestablished in his home. And that the Holy Ghost would have His way there. I believe God can provide that and do that for all of us. But we thank the Lord for His blessings upon us today. You know, this message, Brother Daniel was talking, this message, he had answers, he had questions, he had things burning on his heart. And I can say that for myself. I remember even attending service here in this building in Brother Perryman's church and back in Pentecost, and I had questions. Had questions that wasn't being answered. I remember a man came through, and he was a very, very precious brother to us. Brother Comal Rivers came through, ministered for us, and I remember sitting right back in that room back there, asking him questions. And I remember him. He was a seasoned Pentecostal man that God would answer his prayers. And some of you may know him, some of you may not. But I remember him saying, he said, "You know what?" Said, these brothers have got questions. They are hungry. They got questions for things, for answers. And all I can say is, saints, that God, when He sent the message, it was the answer to those things. And so that's what I was getting at a while ago. We are birthed to an age, to the answer to an age. We were sent here with a certain question in our heart, with certain questions in our heart that God molded and made us for this age. And when He brought us to this message, and that message answered those questions in our heart, we were birthed to that word that answered those questions. And that right there, that's the birth to the word of our day. That is Jesus Christ for this day. We know we call it a message, but we are birthed to that. And that is our ticket out of here. We don't have to be birthed to anything else, but birthed to the word of our day. And that, if you get right down to it, you'll find out that is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. It's not all this other stuff that Satan can imitate But there's one thing he cannot imitate, and that is a life birthed to the word of our day, and that's Christ. And that's our ticket out of here. That's what, when God comes, and I'll say it this way, because Brother Branham said it this way, when the rapture goes, all he's going to do is take himself. He's just rapturing his own life out of here. That's all it is. Well, it's that birth of that word, that life that's in us that he takes. And because you and I have that in us, he has to take us with him. Amen. So, and Brother Branham said it this way. He said, when I go home tonight, he said, my wife is the one. There's a lot of women, but my wife's the one that's going to go home with him. So we know someday that he's going to make that last move, and we're going to go with him. So let's bow our hearts as we get ready to dismiss. God bless you. This is Fellowship Sunday, so everybody be sure to be in fellowship. Lord Jesus, we do thank you today for your goodness upon us, Lord. Lord, we must believe that the words that were spoken today were sent from you, Lord. God, that you guide and things happen in such a way, Lord, that your will is done. We believe that, Lord. We accept that as your provision. Lord, that you have been glorified this day, that there have been hearts that had needs, and those needs have been met and been spoken to, and that your people will go in the strength of the words of today, God, and meet the challenge of this week. We believe that, Lord. We pray for your people, Lord. And as a group together, we bind our prayers together for one another, Lord, that in this day when Satan doesn't want churches to survive and families to survive and individuals to survive in your gospel, we pray, O God, that you do a work among us, Lord, that defeats the work of the enemy. That, God, you truly do have people that stand firm and stand bold and stand like a shining light, Lord, in this generation. We pray, God, that you just do that and perform great wonders among your saints, among your people. We ask, God, that you continue to bless Brother Miller and his family. Lord, continue to make his progress be faster than the doctors expect. We pray, God, that you'd raise our brother up. We know that there's a testimony in the making, Lord, here, but we just strengthen our brother and his family as we pray to you and ask that you supply their needs. Pray that you go with the saints today as they travel. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you.
So glad I'm
yours.